Welcome to Conscious Cannabis. I'm your host, Courtney Aura Freeman. This is season two of our video podcast. I'm very excited to introduce Kira Reed. She's our guest today. Kira Reed is a social media marketing maven and the founder of the members only women's group, Women Empowered in Cannabis. This is a community of women in the fastest growing industry of our day. We're very enthusiastic about what this organization brings to our industry. Before we get started with Kira, I'd like to say thank you to our sponsor, Platonic4.com.
Platonic 4 is a product development consultancy that guides clients through the four pillars of production, including branding and word marketing, e-commerce and website solutions, packaging design and eco-packaging options, go-to-market strategy, including digital advertising, video production, and event marketing. You can see examples of the product development here, and you can schedule a complimentary discovery call to learn more about how Platonic 4 can meet your product development needs.
And with that, we'll continue with our interview with Kira. Kira Reed, I would like to turn over the mic to you. If you would, please tell us about yourself and share a little bit about how you got started in the cannabis industry.
Well, thank you so much for having me, Courtney. It's a pleasure to be here to talk about Women Empowered in Cannabis. My name is Kira Reed, and I'm the founder of Women Empowered in Cannabis. We are a community for women working in cannabis around the world. Our organization provides resources and support that women need to succeed in their careers, from the executive and founder level all the way down to the bud tender. We want to make sure that all women in this industry find satisfying careers and that they succeed in them. I got my start in the industry, I guess you could say, when I was a child. I grew up around people that grew and used it for medicinal purposes, so it was always something that was acceptable to me. It seemed that other people who were not interested in cannabis or who thought something was wrong with it were actually the ones that something was not normal about. So when we started moving towards legalization here in California in 2016, I realized it was time for me to really jump in and provide my services to the industry. As you mentioned in my intro, I was very heavily involved in social media, marketing, and branding for a large part of my career. And so that's what I brought to the industry in hopes of being able to elevate the marketing messaging and the branding that was happening at the time around 2016. When I started, I realized pretty quickly that there was a booming women's movement starting, and it was very compelling to me. Before I transitioned to cannabis, I was helping women build their businesses online because social media had opened the door really for so many people to be able to start their businesses online. So I was very familiar with some of the issues that women had in traditional business trying to start their businesses. And as I moved into cannabis, I realized that there were a lot of women here who were deeply drawn to it through passion because the plant had touched their lives deeply by saving their children or changing their mother or father's lives, changing their lives. So a lot of women have become really dedicated to making sure that they fight the stigma and that the plant and medicine is accessible wherever you are. And so it brought a lot of passion, but there was business acumen that was lacking. And on top of traditional business acumen, really understanding the cannabis industry, because for whatever you have an understanding of business, you have a whole other layer that is cannabis specific on every single department in your company. So I really wanted to educate women so that they weren't caught off guard when they started their businesses. And so I joined forces with some really incredible women who were very well established in the industry, and we launched Caden Academy, which I think was a little early. And I was really used to marketing in a traditional way where, especially to women, you build up the fantasy of, you know, what can your life be with a successful business? And I was shocked to realize that that did not work in cannabis. You know, none of us here are bragging to each other about, you know, going to Costa Rica with my hot man and wearing my Louboutins and, you know, clutching my Louis Vuitton purse. I mean, that was just that's just not where women in this industry are. They are pouring their blood, sweat, and tears into everything that they do. And material things are just, are not a motivation. So I didn't really do that well with Caden Academy, but we had started a Facebook group as a marketing arm for it. And having had a past in marketing, I wasn't super thrilled. The groups are very hard to start and they're very hard to maintain. But it was a case of right place, right time. And the women in the community, within just a few months, I had probably 1,500 members who were some of the most influential and ambitious women in the industry. And it has just grown from there. 3.5 years later, with a shadow ban in place, we have increased to over 7,500 members in that one group, but we've also expanded into three other groups. The supply chain group, which is hosted, the community leader is Lelania Dubois. Kendra Lucy is a community leader for our CBD and hemp group. And Miss Kindness is the leader for our women in color group. So we've really expanded in a lot of ways since then to be a huge community for women around the world to build it, their tribe based on category or location, to get support that they need, to get help that they need. I kind of like to compare it a bit to the Elks Club, or a place where traditionally in business men could go and get those contacts of those vendors and talk about pricing and, you know, the things that women, those conversations women have been left out of for a very long time. We need to have our own networks like that. So that's really what we're focused on with Women Empowered in Cannabis.
I really appreciate that you are sharing some of the pitfalls and challenges that you're overcoming as part of this journey. And I can say that as a Women Empowered in Cannabis member, I'm very proud. And it's been beautiful to see the growth of the organization, and especially the expansion in terms of these other groups that really are very important, because each of us have our own experience and our own goals in terms of why we're here and what we're doing, especially in this business-focused sense. So if you are a part of the supply chain, for example, having a place where you can go and speak to other women about their experiences. And I think something we should touch on is that the cannabis industry has been extremely male, white dominated for many, many, many years. So when Kira started this group, women were being touted as the leaders of this industry, something that we hadn't seen in other industries really ever. And also, I think also when you consider, like, my area of focus is product development, and women have been in the kitchen creating products from the beginning. So this is a big, you know, part of the creative process in terms of our industry. And as we've identified the medicinal healing aspects, women being the caretakers of the family have also been a focus on bringing products that really help people, changing the stigma. So it's such an important role that you play, Kira, in this industry, in the development and overcoming the stigma and educating. Thank you so much for the work that you've done here. I can say that I personally have benefited greatly, and I really appreciate on behalf of all the women empowered in cannabis. Thank you. This is a great segue to move into segment two, talking about conscious business practices. And you have an event coming up, Lady Jane Society. This is a community building event. It's June 25th through the 27th for anyone that's interested in participating. And Kira will tell us how to register for that later. You also have the Women Empowered in Cannabis Leadership Summit coming up. Let's talk about conscious business practices and what that means for you and your organization and your initiatives. Can you share a little bit of what's going on right now?
I don't really quite look at it as conscious. I look at it as feminine, because in what I'm doing and what I've been doing long before I came to cannabis, I have been looking at the masculine business model. It was built when business model originated in the Industrial Revolution, and it was built the way that men like to play the game. And, you know, money's the bottom line, highly competitive, constant growth. And it didn't really fit the way that women like to work. So all of our working lives, women have tried to fit into something that was constructed with the way men like to play in mind. And it's been very hard for a lot of us to make an adjustment, because we have to kind of set a lot of ourselves aside in order to succeed in those environments. And for a long time, I've been looking at especially because of the fact that social media really changed the score. Social media said it isn't the dollar that's the bottom line, it's relationships. And if we look at companies like Facebook and Twitter, two massive companies, they were built using a more feminine model, which is you build your relationships first. And so I really look at everything that I do in my company as, what is the feminine approach to this? While realizing that there has to be a balance between both, because it has worked. What we have lived with has worked to some degree, but it needs to expand, it needs to grow, and it needs to incorporate an understanding of, for instance, with my employees, I don't want high employee turnover, but I want the people that work for me to be successful. And if they want to move on, if they want my support in growing themselves in their career here, and then they want to move on, I want to support that. I've put relationships at the center of our business. So that goes for our employees, our vendors, our partners, our sponsors, anyone that we come into contact with, our relationship with them is the key. And so kind of thinking through everything that we do from this lens, how do we improve our relationships? How do we be of more service? How do we provide things? You know, I think a really important thing is that, number one, I believe in failing up. So failure is not a bad thing. And there's a way to fail that doesn't require a massive investment to learn that you failed. There are ways to give things a try. And if you built a good community and you have good relationships, you can make those mistakes until you pivot into a place where your audience says, this is exactly what we want. The second thing is giving people what they want. I think a lot of times companies give the audience, their community, what they think that they want, as opposed to really ear to the ground. What is it that they want? And in building my business, I have an advantage because I've been a woman in business my entire life. I know the kind of networking events that I want to go to. I know the kind of environment that I want to be a part of. So that's what I'm creating. I'm not trying to create some masculine version.
Kira, I think that you're touching on a unique aspect of social media as it pertains to our industry. Historically, people were communicating in secret. I mean, even today, people have closed communications where there's different groups. For example, Women Empowered in Cannabis closed Facebook group. That was a space where people could speak freely and be protected by the community. Historically, communications were underground. Now we're coming out in public and we're having a voice. So there is kind of this, as you said, right time, right place. There is this unique aspect where you're kind of touching on something that is very much needed at the right moment when it's needed by the audience, it's needed by. And I have a coach and we have an expression, give the people what they want, but only if they want it. Because even when you think you know what they want, they can be resistant to whatever that content is. And it's really difficult to kind of fine tune that. And that's something that I think is one of your special abilities and your special skills is really honing in on what it is that people want. And that's why you've become so successful and just in social media alone. But of course, and that relationship building is extremely important as well. Thank you for sharing that. And you've also touched on something really integral to this communication, this platform. When we talk about conscious business practices, some people are turned off by the word conscious. Like to them, it's like a little trigger. It's too woo-woo. But the premise is that in this industry, we do have a greater number of individuals and businesses who are triple bottom line, who care about their impact on the community, the environment, who have a real, as you said, blood, sweat, and tears that they've devoted to this because they believe in the plant, they believe in the healing abilities, they believe that there's an opportunity that we haven't seen before for women to find the real success they've been seeking in other avenues. So thank you for talking a little bit about your interpretation of how you approach this and what conscious can mean for you. In this case, your feminine approach or really kind of reworking things, reframing things to have a more feminine eye. That is something, again, unique that you bring to this industry. All right, let's move on to segment three. I'd love for you to talk a little bit about your upcoming events and then also just share about some trends that you're seeing from the industry so that our audience will have some really unique insights they can take away from a leader in this field.
Would it be okay if I went back to your other question for just a minute? There's something else that I wanted to add after what you said. Is that okay?
Yes, yes, absolutely.
So I was on a panel recently with someone who is a very, very well-known big brand builder, and I mean traditional business, Fortune 500. And he was giving some advice to cannabis companies about, you know, look at Google, look at Apple, plan your exit. You know, when you're building your brand, think big. And I think that part of conscious business is recognizing really where you're at and what it is that you want to do. And I think there are a lot of companies in this industry who will be really happy employing people and participating in their community and, you know, sustaining their founders and the employees that, that it pays. And I think that there is a tremendous amount of value in really understanding who you are and where you're at and what kind of company you want to be. And that it's okay to not want to be a company that wants to create an exit or have, you know, a massive corporate takeover. There are all kinds of companies that will contribute to the cannabis industry, and being honest about what it is that you want for yourself and for your employees and your community is really, really important and very, very important in building a conscious business. And I think it's a very important key to success is just that, recognizing what it is you really want to do and where you're at.
I have a personal experience with this because the cannabis industry has been such a get to market first race. You know, we've all been, I mean, overcoming challenges like banking and things of that nature, social media bans that people in other industries don't encounter. And with that race, I myself have been running basically three different companies. And the messaging I've been receiving now is to slow down and focus your energy. And in the back of my head, there's still this voice that says, no, we need to power through because we need to get, you know, more market share by this time. And we have these goals. And there's so much opportunity for failure because it's just the capital requirements. And then I have, you know, partners who say, well, we should be, looking at SCABs and we should be doing, fundraising and all of this. And then, you know, well, we're a privately held company. It's not a great idea for us to do an exit, especially if we want to further our objectives of, you know, eco packaging. You know, if you look at Snapple, the Snapple is now on the shelf with a sign on it that says new plastic bottle. But historically, the greatest thing about Snapple was it came in a glass bottle with this cute message in the lid. And that was part of the reason I bought it. So, when you hand over the reins, unfortunately, there's a big possibility that the integrity of what you've built may be lost. So these are all things that I can speak to firsthand and that are considerations for businesses in other areas, but have a particular facet here in this industry. So thanks for bringing that up. Are you ready to move forward with segment three?
Yes.
Okay. For segment three, if you would share a little bit about your upcoming events, because we'd love to hear about that and how our audience can register and participate if they can, if it's still available. And then also, if you would share some trends that you're seeing in the industry so their audience will have some key takeaways from our industry leader, Kira Reed.
So thank you very much for the opportunity to share about our events. You had mentioned Lady Jane Society, and that is at the end of June. But due to COVID, we are limited to only 65 women in attendance. So it is invite only this time. We will be coming back in 2022 and doing another big event with our incredible speakers and our Cannabis Lounge and all the amazing things that we did in our first event for Lady Jane in October 2019. But nonetheless, the event is going to be pretty spectacular. Again, I'm creating something that I really need for myself, and I've been isolated for the last year, and I'm very excited to reconnect with women in the industry who I haven't seen in all that time. I'm ready for hugs. I'm ready for long talks by the pool, but I'm also ready for some ceremony, and we've been through a lot this last year, so we are going to help our nervous systems come back to life and reintegrate with each other. So Friday night will be a ceremony around letting go of the last year and anything that we're holding on to. And Saturday night will be a ceremony about reintegration. And what do we want to create in our new normal? Someone said to me the other day, I'm creating excellence. So it's really going to be about reconnecting and sparking up that nervous system again and getting us geared up, because the cannabis industry is going to be on fire in 2021 and 2022. So it'll be a nice on-ramp. The public event that I'm holding for Women Empowered in Cannabis is May 19th. It is going to be the Women Empowered in Cannabis Leadership Summit, which we will do every year. And this year we're going to focus on power and the power of women in cannabis. And you mentioned when we started that at the beginning of both of us coming into the industry, there was this awareness that women were just killing it. We were at 37% C-suite positions in the industry. Well, now we've slipped to 27. As we've grown, as we've added states, it's become less female dominant. So we need to talk about what's going on. Why are we losing our power? How do we get power? How do we keep power? How is power impacted and affected on all parts of the supply chain? So we're going to have some really incredible women from big companies in the industry talking about power from their perspective. And I also want to talk about, what do you do with power when you get it? I often hear women talking about empowerment, but internal empowerment. You know, I'm going to take my power back. But we don't talk about, I'm going to go get my power. I'm going to go take power in this industry. What does that mean? What does that look like? How do we do it? And then what do we do with it when we have it? So we're really going to explore a lot of those ideas that have been sitting with me during COVID. And that's amazing. And I'm really, really looking forward to that. What's that?
Well, I said, that's amazing. And you're also kind of hitting on something for me personally, in that, for the past 5-6 years, I've spent so much time building community, monthly industry event in Los Angeles, you know, working with you, doing meetups around the country. I mean, Vegas, you know, all these things. And now I feel like it's all for naught. Like, there is no community anymore, because there's no one to see. I'm in Los Angeles. I don't know that we will be lifting a lockdown here in this town for a very long time. In Arizona, they're already open. Clubs are open. People are out doing things. We just got our restaurants back open for indoor dining. So unfortunately, I don't see a lot of movement here. And even for my marketing, I'm marketing to other locations, because I think people in Los Angeles are unfortunately hibernating because of the lockdown. So, you know, to kind of event producers such as yourself, to kind of slowly reintegrate people back into the community is very valuable. And I look forward to seeing that, because I myself feel like I could use an infusion of community. I'm ready.
No, I agree, Courtney. And this is why, you know, on the one hand, after a year, it's like, ooh, the idea of being around a crowd of people again, it just freaks me out. But I need to, you know, I've got to get back out there, and the community needs it. But what's been interesting is the pivot to online has enabled me to expand that community. I mean, you know, you produced the House of Jane events with me, and we had women from all over the world that would show up, that we had an opportunity to meet face to face, well, on video. And it really built out a whole new sector of our community that wouldn't have existed without having the video option. So we've all been able to pivot okay. And I think community has grown in different ways, but there is something about skin to skin contact, you know. Ooh. Looking at somebody you love in the eye without this distraction of, you know, looking at yourself too. And I think we're ready for that.
I'm just thinking about just, you know, our segment trends. Clubhouse is an audio meeting platform. Mm-hmm. And I think they've just kind of blew up in the industry. I really want to know who's behind it, because it was all within a week. Everybody I knew in the industry was asking me if I was on Clubhouse. Kira sent me my invite. Thank you, Kira. But it was kind of phenomenal. I couldn't believe how quickly this platform infiltrated our industry with really key players. And I think that an aspect is that it's audio only. I think a lot of people have been kind of, you know, zoomed out. Like, they're now like, we've taken it to the next level. So they're having Zoom with the family, and then the Zoom meetings all day. And even kids, you know, they're at school with, they have to keep their monitor on so the teachers can see them. And it's a little bit, it raises other issues about, are you self-conscious and like how it affects your psyche to have your face there, you know, in front of you. So it's really interesting. But I think now we'll, I'm sure there'll be more of a consideration for live streaming. We were already on that route with events before where people had that opportunity. Now we're getting more into hybrid. So there'll be more emphasis on that. But that, yes, the skin on skin is so essential. Thank you. Thank you for moving forward and creating a space for that. That event will be taking place in the Central Valley. And then tell us about the summit. Is there more that you'd like to share?
The summit will be online. Keep an eye out for that in the next couple of weeks. We have a big launch coming up. We are relaunching our membership site for Women Empowered in Cannabis. And it's going to be, we're using a technology that is going to allow us to create a mini Facebook. So you will be able to connect with people, have a timeline so you can share content, you can share events. We're going to roll out a job board in phase two later this summer. There are going to be a lot of really cool options for women to finally be able to, you know, I've had to be really restrictive on Facebook, partly because, you know, I don't want us to get shut down. If we lose that community, we lose everything. So, the ability for me to now be able to say, look, if you want to post pictures of flower, if you want to show yourself smoking, if you want to post your events, go ahead and do it. I'm not worried because it's our place. So I think that that's going to open up a lot of opportunity for women to really network online up until the point where we can do it in person again. You mentioned Clubhouse. I'll tell you the reason why it seemed to come out of nowhere at the beginning of the year, because they've been around for about a year and they were having apparently some real kind of scaling issues, and they relaunched, and it was that way across multiple industries, because I have a few friends in other industries who felt exactly the same way. This came out of nowhere. And I think it has alleviated a lot of the Zoom fatigue, but it has also presented a very different opportunity, because it's not about sharing messages. It's not about gathering followers. It's really about participation and learning how to hold space, you know, and one person gets to talk at a time. Otherwise your room won't work. So there's a component of listening that we're being pulled back into that has just been missing from our engagement for so long. And I don't know that if COVID hadn't happened, if Clubhouse would be doing as well as it is. You know, who wants to sit around and listen to a conversation? I mean, the whole idea when, you know, I'm in the middle of catching a plane or going to this event or that event is just like an annoyance. Now it's an obsession, because you're meeting, it's a new way to meet people and learn new information outside of cannabis as well as inside. And then the fact that we're not restricted in what we can talk about is also pretty amazing. As far as other trends, you know, I don't know. And it's challenging in this time to try to predict what is going to happen. And I stopped my consulting agency right after COVID started, because I've always been able to really predict for my clients, look, if you do this, you're going to get this kind of result. If you don't do this, you're going to get this kind of result. But in this world, there's just no way. There's no way of telling, you know, who's going to go in lockdown and you're going to lose a whole segment of interest in your community. Or what trauma is going to happen collectively that's going to make your launch completely irrelevant the day you have it scheduled. I mean, it's just, it's really, really hard to predict. So,
uncertainty.
You know, yes. I don't really know. I don't know what trends are coming, because everything is, you know, the whole table's been wiped clean. And until this is over, I mean, we know cannabis is selling, we know it's doing well, and we know that other states are seeing the tax benefits, so they're legalizing quickly. Other than that, I don't know.
Well, I think I think you're making me think of a few things. One of the unique aspects I think of is the attraction of Clubhouse is that the audience has an opportunity to take the stage. And I think it's an opportunity for people to share what they're doing and who they are. So in a way that we can't network in person now, it almost gives you a little bit of more exposure without having to create the space and get exposure, because you come on stage and you share a little bit about, you know, what you're doing and ask questions for the panel that you're listening to in the room, things of that nature. Also, you're making me think about, you know, it's especially from an event standpoint. In Los Angeles, I mentioned indoor dining is now permitted and small live events. But with the uncertainty, we don't know that we're not going to go back into a lockdown. If I go and do you know how much work it is, audience, to produce an event? if I go out and reach out to my entire audience and I am, you know, personally inviting people and registering everybody, and then, you know, I'm securing a venue, which can be expensive, and, you know, digital advertising, and then only to find out that now we're back in lockdown and no more live events because we hit a certain ratio of people in the hospital. So it's a big risk, and you're touching on that's something that I think that's trending right now, is the uncertainty, the risk, having to adapt to that. But also something I touched on earlier is that with all the new locations, I mean, in the last presidential election, we have several new locations that have come online, either for medicinal or adult use. So for me, I'm focused on, well, you know, how can I share what I've created and the work and the experience that I've established this time to this moment with the people that are now coming into the industry. And the same, I think, for women empowered in cannabis, it's so valuable as new women are coming into the industry, having a safe place to come and talk and share. And, you know, and also communicate what worked, what didn't work, and having a sounding board for, you know, I want to do this, it's risky, there's uncertainty, what do you think? And having a little bit of a soft landing there. So I can see that as being a little bit more of a trend as well. So,
because that benefits us for sure.
Agreed. So for people who are interested in either learning more about your future community events or participating in the Women Empowering Cannabis or maybe the job board, what is the domain where they can visit you?
WomenEmpoweredInCannabis.com.
So for those of you listening, we will include this WomenEmpoweredInCannabis.com. For those of you watching, we'll include it in the description. And I'm really excited to have you, Kira. It's such a great opportunity to come and talk to you about what you're doing, your expertise, and everything that you bring to the industry. Thank you so much for being here. Is there anything else that you'd like to share before we conclude our interview?
Yes. So you have three products on the shelf behind you, and I know this is supposed to be about me, but I'm going to plug Courtney's unbelievable products because I have one in my car, one in my purse, one in my living room, one in my bathroom, one by my bed, and one in my travel trailer. Anytime I have any issues that can be solved topically, I'm reaching for Courtney's products. They are incredible. And I so appreciate you making them. And I appreciate your generosity in turning me on to them, because I won't go without my amazing White Buffalo massage. I don't know, it's a massage primer, but I call it my miracle cream. So thank you, Courtney, for everything you do for the industry.
Thank you. I appreciate that. I'm blushing now. thank you very much. You know, there are multiple ways that we can make a difference in the world. And, you know, it's about deciding, you know, what's your dharma? How are we going to make a difference? And I think for me, like these are a few of the avenues that I've hoped to bring healing to people and improve their lives and their experience and share the beauty of cannabis and what we're doing. And this has been, I've been in this for many years now, and my parents started a rolling paper company in the 70s. So I already have their kind of reference for their experience when they thought the industry would be legal in 5 years. And here, you know, I feel that even after all the, you know, I'm contributing and all the things that we're doing as an industry, I still feel like there's so much stigma around this industry. And even like the non-believers, like even people that consume cannabis don't necessarily believe in the healing powers. So there's such a long journey to go for us. But if you'd like to join our industry and be a part of this, or be a part of making a difference in the world, or shaping what this world looks like, please join the movement. And if you're a woman, be a part of Women Empowered in Cannabis. This is a great group, and Kira is paving the way for wonderful, wonderful things for our industry and for our female gender, if you're a part of this female gender. So thank you so much again for everything. And I look forward to seeing you very soon. For those of you listening, you can find us at consciouscannabis.com, and I'll spell that for you, C-O-N-S-E-I-O-U-S, cannabis, C-A-N-N-A-B-I-Z, because we're talking about business. Also, if you would, if you're watching on YouTube, please subscribe. You can listen to this podcast and others like it for season two at our website or on your favorite listening platform, including iTunes and Spotify. If you're on iTunes, please give us a positive review. Share our podcast with your friends. Tell everyone how amazing Kira Reed is. And we look forward to seeing you on more episodes of Conscious Cannabis. I'm grateful to be here. I'm grateful to all of you for supporting this content. And I'm grateful to you, Kira, for being a part of it and sharing your message and all that you do.
Thank
Take
you
care. Bye-bye.